Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of November, recording at 7:20, looks like 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I did say in the comment of the day that I would have a little discussion here of emerging markets at the outset, following that piece that I did on China, commenting on the extremely good article by the gentleman who has been visiting China regularly and knows it extremely well. I thought it was an important article, but I'm not going to repeat those points. I did say that I felt in the era of globalization that we were spoiled for choice in terms of emerging markets. Now, I have also mentioned many times in the past that governance was a key issue with emerging markets, and one of the reasons we're spoiled for choice is that governance, I would say, is probably better today than at any time really that I can recall among these emerging markets. And globalization helps in that process, and the perception that it's all there for the taking, provided countries get their act together. So, my feeling in terms of the emerging markets is that among the ones that are the most attractive are those who are raw materials suppliers. Now, there are the metals, of course, and a number of the South American emerging markets have done very well on that basis. It has also helped a market such as Australia. There are also foods. Australia benefits to a certain extent from that. It's a big wheat exporter and wine exporter, and fruits and so on. New Zealand certainly benefits from the food exports considerably, not least in the area of meats such as lamb. Now, I just feel that those are the natural materials, raw materials rather, particularly the metals and energy, are going to be in much demand and are going to give those emerging markets an advantage. One obvious choice in that category is Russia. Now, taking energy, again, another market that's done extremely well, helped by energy, but it also has the foods, is Indonesia. And interestingly, in some of the charts that Owen has really prepared for our some of the daily reviews that we have here, he has created some Middle Eastern indices, and some of these are doing tolerably well. Now, that I think most of us would say we couldn't think of a more dangerous area or perhaps less promising area, but remember, there's an awful lot of oil in a number of those countries, and if countries with the bigger populations but without the oil, such as Egypt, really get their act together, and they appear to be doing so, there certainly is a lot of potential in those markets. So you can see we're casting the net quite widely here in terms of various different possibilities. Then there are the emerging markets that are perhaps most noted for manufacturing. Now, China comes way at the top of the list among those, but it's by no means unique. There are the other emerging Asian markets. There is India, which is potentially a major rival for China in the not-too-distant future. And there's Eastern Europe, and the Eastern European markets have done spectacularly well. And I can't help thinking that they will benefit enormously now that markets are opened up or more open than they were. As far as the Euroland countries are concerned, I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer that if you're paying high taxes and that all the have all the social net that exists in Germany or France or Italy, why not move some of your manufacturing into Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, or any of those other 10 countries that are that have joined the European Union. Now, with manufacturing, there is a vulnerability here, and that I touched on in my comments on China. In other words, if wages start to push up, and you've heard me say this before on a number of occasions, I believe, that when the U.S. goes back to China, if China, as it is constantly doing, in terms of the many, many goods that the United States has China produce to its specifications, and China tries to push on wage increases or other costs, as it has, the United States, you can bet, will more than likely say, well, no, either I'm paying the same price or I'm not dealing, because they can go to any other country in the region. And just watch over the next decade or so as countries like Vietnam and then eventually Cambodia and who knows, at some stage, presumably Burma, become major manufacturing sources. They're rivaling China. So it won't just be India and the better known and better developed other Asian countries within that region. Now, as far as I'm concerned, emerging markets, for those reasons of the commodity supplies, the energy sources, the competitiveness in manufacturing, that's really where I want to be most of all in terms of long-term growth potential. Timing obviously is going to be everything, as I've said before, and my gauge on the timing right now is that it is still go. We are still on course for this good year-end run, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that doesn't carry on into the first quarter of 2005, as I've said so many times before. Also, I maintain that we are likely to see a significant shakeout to commence at some point in 2005 and carry into 2006, but let's enjoy the rally while we can. Now, I would not say, therefore, that this is an optimum time to be coming into emerging markets for the first time. Although you could get lucky, the trends continue. I'm certainly happy to hold positions, and I have a major investment in India in my pension funds. I've got another major investment in Thailand, which has lagged recently, but is improving, partly due to the unrest, the Muslim, a small Muslim insurrection in the southern part of the country. But it's been improving recently, and I'm very happy to hold those. I will be surprised if I don't lighten those positions considerably at some point over the next 6 months, but I'll monitor the trends. We'll see. I don't need to worry overly about it. At this stage, I'm just trying to put this in perspective. The time when I did my most aggressive buying in these markets was in May and June of 2003. And I lightened in some of them and then went back in again when stock markets were appearing to firm once again. Okay, running on through markets generally, I mentioned yesterday the concern, all the talk about the dollar and crisis comments. Gosh, you're going through the Sunday papers. It always takes me a few days to get through the items of interest in the Sunday papers that I look at. There was so much talk in terms of market crises and dollar collapse and so on, adding to the nervousness. And sentiment is such a crucial factor in markets, so I do want to monitor that very closely. But some of the markets that had experienced damage yesterday recouped most of it Australia, it was one of them. It had a good rally today, and that's encouraging. I'd like to see it push on through to new high ground. And we had seen, well, markets that had some downward dynamics in the previous 2 days for last Friday, and on Monday, some of the European markets improved a little bit. But it's sort of a mixed day in here today. They started to improve yesterday afternoon, but say a bit mixed in here today. Wall Street's been in and out of the profit column today, pretty much unchanged right now. No big move overall, and I've been describing this as a consolidation phase here right now. And moving on to the more interesting areas, U.S. Treasury bonds. Well, I wouldn't describe those as one of the more interesting areas yet. Range bound, generally steady up here again today, 113.16 on the December contract. I think this is a baby steps, sell lightly on the rallies and cover part of it on the declines type of situation. I haven't been doing that because I've got a very small position there, but I'm likely to in future. It's just there's so many things that do interest me, and I've concentrated on those, and I'll get on to those. Currencies, the Australian dollar remains my favorite here, but an interesting aside, I noticed today that I think it probably started in Asia, and then in the European markets this morning we saw some profit taking. The dollar rallied a bit, but it couldn't really hold it. And for instance, the low for the euro this morning was 129.77, and then it pushed back up all the way up to a new high at 131.06, and is currently 130.84. If it closes up there, that'll be a new closing high. And the Australian dollar, where which is my biggest position overall, Australian dollar long against the US, that today we saw a low. It pulled back in the morning to 7774. That's 0.7774, and it's currently 7870, and that's a new recovery high on this move. But it's still in a bit of a consolidation, sort of a rising consolidation pattern here. But as I said yesterday, that I would, if this is going to maintain its trend consistency, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of days we saw this break up out of this range. I'm hoping that will happen because then I'd move up my trailing stop, which is fairly loose given all the jawboning that we have seen in this sector recently. Now, in the metals, I'm rueing the fact that my lead stop got hit, and it only went a couple of dollars beyond that. But that's life, isn't it? Up $10 here again today, 966. I think metals are going to be breaking up out of these big trading ranges at some stage. And certainly the dollar's weakness doesn't reduce that potential, just the opposite. But I'm not going to chase on these. Where I did increase a long position was in gold, because that has led the way here overall. And interestingly and disappointingly for me, tin, which had been very, very steady, slipped underneath that 9,000 level today, closed down $120 to 89.10. Something that concerns me a bit is it's lost the backwardation temporarily, and I think unless it pushes right back above that 9,000 level tomorrow, I think traders will set their sights on a test of the 8,500 level. I've ridden it down there before and a little bit below, and I'm not going to check it out. I'm in here now, but I've been hoping and waiting for an upside breakout from this trading range, which is not going to happen imminently, judging from this action. I may have to see, as I say, some underlying support tested before it strengthens again. I'd be surprised if it fell significantly, given the overall firmness of most of the others. And I do regard any metal as a buy on setbacks. And we haven't seen too many of those recently. Now, also, coffee here, that's improved again today. I own the Robusta London crop. That was up another 10. It's a good move overall. And I have a quite a profitable position in the March contract and a much reduced loss, fortunately, in the January contract. I was tempted to take part of that position out, and I may before long on a baby steps basis, although I've only got two units. I may well do that. might not get the opportunity tomorrow to do it at an optimum level, so therefore I wouldn't, in all probability, because the Arabica U.S. contract closed down, was only down 0.1 on the day at 89.25, but it had been up as high as 91.50. What else can I mention? Soybeans also, now that's looking quite good in here. The March contract is the one I own. Soybeans up 6.564.5. And remember, there was some that little lateral resistance at 550. Well, it has broken broken through that and held that. And I noticed there are two little notices. I'll try to post them tomorrow. That first, China has been buying grains recently from some. I saw that from some data that was released last week. That's one factor behind the steadier price action that we've seen recently. Dollar weakness doesn't hurt. Quite obviously, and then there was a problem with rust that was showing up on some of the soybean plants. They're saying that might have blown in from South America during the stormy season. Now, that's something that's treatable, and it's not a concern here, or not a threat to crops here today, but if it did become established in the U.S. next year, and I think it's popped up in about five states, they've spotted this, that what it does is cause the leaves to fall off, and that means that the soybean pods do not develop properly. So it's something that can be a major problem and has in the past. As I say, there are several approved chemical treatments for that, and I'm sure that U.S. growers will be alert to the risks come next year's season, but nevertheless, that is something that's likely to deter people from shorting, and China buying here again, very depressed markets. I maintain this is an interesting area, but I would not be paying up. I will be adding to my longs on dips and adding and lightening somewhat with those positions on rallies. Last but not least in here today, we had oil rally quite sharply at one point, got up to 50.25, but then has given most of that up. I couldn't find any news on it, but it slipped back to 48.85. I maintain that what we are seeing here is a medium-term consolidation correction within the overall secular bull market. Gold a little softer in here today. The spot gold price is down 129 at 447.65, $447.65 as I speak. It got up to nearly, the spot bullion got up to nearly the 450 level, and that's a bit of a round number sort of reassessment point, but I don't expect anything worse than a little consolidation near this level, unless the jawboners succeed in frightening the dollar bears more than I currently expect, let alone hope. Have a good evening.